Continue working through Psalm 37 in preparing us for worship and the Word of God. Psalm 37, verse 27, "Turn away from evil and do good, and you shall dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, his steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. And you will look on it when the wicked are cut off." I have seen that's it.
Verse 31 is probably
right, thanks. As we're coming here and continuing in 1 Samuel, I just want to start off asking a question as we continue in the second chapter. But I want to ask you a question. First, have you ever found yourself breaking out in praise to God? Have you ever had that experience when all you could do was praise God loudly? I'm thankful that I had that experience when I first came to Christ in high school. I'm glad for that experience. I remember traveling in western Pennsylvania one time as the leaves were changing and the light from the sun was on the leaves and lit them up, and all I could do was in the car by myself, so it was good for at least anybody who didn't have to travel with me and hear my praise, because I broke out into some kind of song that I made about the leaves and what God was doing. I remember breaking out in praise at times, and God delivered me from some hard circumstance or a great answer in prayer. Now, I'm not really kind of very vocal in a lot of ways when I'm around people per se in that way, but just on my own, this is not something that happens all the time, but I'm thankful for those times when I was just so overwhelmed with either who God was or what he's done to just break out in praise. I hope you've had that experience. And if you never had that experience, I hope that there'll be a day when that happens. You just see something and think of something about God and his either who he is or what he's done, and you can't help yourself. We find that experience tonight in the life of Hannah. But one of the interesting things in the life of Hannah is that as she is worshiping God and breaks out in praise, not for a great blessing, but in the midst of heartache. All of the times I've broken out in praise has been because of some wondrous thing about God, but not in the midst of the hard time. As we come to the scriptures tonight, the context is that God has answered Hannah when she was barren and gave her Samuel, who now for 3 years she has brought up until he's weaned, but her promise was to take him back and give him to God, that he would worship as a priest in the temple and learn from Eli. And so it's at this time when she's giving her son back to God as he's turning, we think, about 4 years old and would not see him but once a year on her trip back to Shiloh to worship. It's in the midst of giving away her son that she worships. Sinclair Ferguson wants us to understand and get our minds in the right place to understand the scripture when he says this: "You have to try to put yourself now in the shoes of Hannah. It's understanding the bowl that she's rejoicing in one sense. She has borne a son. God has heard her prayers. God has visited her. God has come to her in ways, and perhaps she had begun to think would not be possible. But now put yourself in her shoes. She's handing over her 4-year-old son to a stranger, a priest to be sure, someone presumably she could trust. She's perhaps unaware of what kind of priest Eli is and what kind of family he has. But Sinclair said this, "It's hard for me to even conceive what must have been going on in her mind." She made a vow, you see, in the days when vows were both made and kept. She made a vow to the Lord in the presence of Eli. There was no turning back, even if the thought had crossed her mind. And who would think that it had not crossed her mind in the past 2 or 3 or perhaps 4 years? But she's handing Samuel over now to the Lord. And yet she's worshiping in the house of God in Shiloh. She comes to the place where God had promised his presence, and she opens her heart to the Lord and sings. The scriptures we're going to look at tonight is a prayer. It's a song. It's a psalm altogether. So stand with me now as I pray, and then we read the Word of God. Our Father in God, I trust that as I am with my brothers and sisters this evening to worship you, that we, I hope, have all had at least one time when we couldn't contain ourselves in our praise and thanksgiving for you because of the way you have either saved us or blessed us. And to think back on those times of just how good you were. But Father, I thank you that in your word you have given us saints, and this particular saint, this woman, this sister of ours, Hannah, who at the moment of her heartbreak was able to rejoice in you. Would you use her, Lord, in our lives? Would her example encourage us? Would you, O Lord, encourage someone this evening? Because we find ourselves often in the midst of heartache, overwhelmed, rather than being able to look up and see you. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verses 1 through 11, Hannah's prayer or her song or psalm. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God." Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren have borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes and to inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. The word of God for his people.
Amen.
Please be seated. We begin this prayer and looking at it where Hannah's testimony in prayer is that as she exalts in the Lord, he exalts her. You have to listen carefully and read carefully, and hopefully I can pronounce well enough. The one thing that Hannah is doing is exalt, while God exalts. Now, hopefully we'll be able to hear and see the difference in a minute. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1 as she begins this prayer. She says this, "My heart exalts in the Lord." The Hebrew word means to rejoice, to jump for joy. It's that kind of praise that she's giving in the moment of this heartache of giving away her child because she's seeing something greater. But she's starting to say, "My heart jumps for joy." How? Because it is in the Lord. Hannah is exalting in the Lord as she comes to worship God while literally giving Samuel, her four-year-old boy, over to God's service in the tabernacle in Shiloh. To understand this, you need to first remember last week her desperate cry when she was barren for so many years and being derided by her husband's other wife. In 1 Samuel 1:10, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly in her barrenness. And God had given and answered her prayer and given her Samuel, God who answers prayer, his name. As Bill Arnold comments, Hannah had to sing, God had turned her barrenness into joy. And her song reveals that she understood full well the significance of God's sovereign gift-giving love. And the thing that we have to all be careful with, which Hannah is able to do as she gives her child back to God, was to keep her heart settled on God and not his gifts. She loved God more than her son Samuel. And we have to be careful that we don't set our hearts more when we lose any of the gifts, even if they're some of our beloved ones. Because we always have, even as our pastor reminded us this morning, our portion. That is most nearest and dearest to us, our God, and no one can take him away. Rick Phillips speaks to our hearts here when he says this, Hannah's God-centered prayer sets a vital example for us. If we place a higher glory on the blessing that God gives than on God himself, we commit idolatry. Now, you might be thinking about that in your own life. What is it that you would be undone if you lost it? A job? A possession? A person? If we place a higher glory on the blessing that God gives than on God himself, we commit idolatry, esteeming the creature above the Creator. And Hannah is able to say, as she's giving away her beloved son unto the Lord for service for the rest of her life at 4 years old, my heart jumps for joy in the Lord. And as a result, the next part of the very first verse says this. She then says, my horn, my strength, the horn of an animal is his strength, right? That's how he fights. And she's saying, my horn, my strength is exalted in the Lord. I'm having this heartache of an example of giving away my son, but God will lift me up. I rejoiced in the Lord, and when you rejoice in him, he will lift you up. That's what it means to exalt, to raise up, to be lifted up, to be set on high, to be shown as powerful. Hannah confesses that her being blessed with Samuel was of the Lord. He had not only sustained her in her barrenness and raised her up in the blessings of motherhood, but he will raise her up now and sustain her and strengthen her. Despite the darkness, as Sinclair Ferguson says, despite the darkness and despite the trials, despite the difficulties and problems and things she should wish it had never been, there's an overarching plan and purpose of Almighty God that she can rejoice in. She could jump for joy, at least in her heart as she prays, because God is the one who is her possession, she'll never lose, and will uphold her, lift her up when she is down, exalt her. I'm thankful that if we look through the scriptures, we find others with the same thing. I think and was reminded of the Apostle Paul this week in Philippians 1 and the jail in Philippi, where he's writing to others and the other Christians are so concerned, you know, and they're praying for Paul. Oh God, Paul's in prison. What are we going to do? And his response is this: I want you to know, brothers, that is what happened to me being imprisoned has really served to advance the gospel. So it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word of God, that is, without fear. Friends, I would ask you tonight, because I know and trust that none of you have given away any four-year-olds recently to break your heart, but there's other things you have given over to God, and they're a loss to you. Will you still be able to jump for joy in your heart? Will you be able to exalt in the Lord so that he might exalt you and lift you up? Do you? Can you? Will you? Think about your own heart and your own life and the things that you might be having heartbreak with even this evening. That's why it's such a joy that God gives us these saints in the scriptures. Saints, redeemed by grace. Not that Hannah is perfect. We know she's not. We saw her bitterness last week, although she, in the midst of it, she went to the Lord. Well, what we have here now is an example set before us that Hannah does, but it's true throughout the scriptures. When you exalt in the Lord, when you find your joy in him, he will eventually exalt you and lift you up. And we find that the rest of the way throughout this psalm. But I want you to follow along, and I'll read again, and just notice how many pairs are here. God raises the humble and he tears down the pride, or the other way around. He tears down those who are proud and raises those who rest in him. Now, follow along as I read again Samuel chapter 2, verses 4 to 9, and just see what a principle that we've seen in Hannah's life is all throughout what God does. It's a part of who he does. Verse 4, the bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many is forlorn. The Lord kills, the Lord brings to life. He renounced to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts up the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and to inherit the seat of honor. You see, you have all these comparisons one with the other. God will take the proud and put them down, and those who are humble in him are raised up. And Hannah repeats all these different examples because she was able to trust herself to the sovereign God who is her portion. When she exalted in him, he exalted her. John Calvin, some of you might say, oh no, John Calvin, a theology quote. Oh, probably not here. But at times we can do that, right? Oh, not another theologian. Well, praise God, he wasn't just a theologian, but he was a Christian. And it's this very principle of understanding the sovereignty of God, this God who lifts up and tears down, that helped him, gave him peace when he lost his wife, Idalette, when she died. He wrote this to a friend of his, William Farrell, who was asking how he was handling this. How could he deal with this? Because he was one of these men that couldn't take care of himself. No one around to cook. He's in bad shape. He'd lost not just his cook and bottle washer, but someone who tamed him with the help of the Lord, someone who turned him around, someone who loved him well. And he said this, "May the Lord Jesus support me under this heavy affliction, which would certainly have overcome me had not he who raises up the prostrate, strengthens the weak, and refreshes the weary, stretched forth his hand from heaven to help me." Beloved, as we run to the Lord for our joy and exult in him, he has promised in his word, as Hannah has told us over and over, will stretch forth his hand from heaven to lift us up. And that's where we need to go and find our joy at those times of desperation and heartbreak. We have a tendency to run so many other places. We'll run to food, we'll run to drink, we'll run to entertainment, we'll run to friends. None of those in moderation are bad, but they shouldn't be the place we run for our joy. And I'm thankful that John Calvin was a great theologian. But more than that, I'm thankful that he knew the Lord. And he had one who reached forth his hand from heaven and lifted him up when he was down. Three times in this prayer of Hannah, that's like a song and a psalm, she uses the word exalt. Verse 1, She uses that word exalt. After she exalted in the Lord, he lifted her up. We see the word in verse 6, where he makes this comparison of the proud and the low. He says he brings, the Lord brings low, and he exalts. But one more time in this passage, in this prayer, this psalm and song, we're going to see God exalt, lift up again. And it's very interesting what it happens, because here we have what some people say is the first place we have a picture of Jesus, in a sense, in the Old Testament, where he is called the Messiah. 1 Samuel 2:10, it says, "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He gives strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Don Carson helps us here, because he is showing us how she is talking here about a king, and there isn't any king in Israel yet. There hasn't been a king. And this king that she's talking about that's coming in Israel is going to be the anointed. When you translate the anointed in Hebrew, it's Messiah. Messiah. He says, she is saying somehow, as God had spoken to her and worked in her heart in this prayer that becomes scripture, that there is a king who's coming, who's going to be anointed. And certainly, she talks here first about the son of David. I mean, David, the son of God, who's going to be king, who is anointed king. But we think even further, by God's grace, spoke to another son, his final son, Jesus, who is God's anointed, the Messiah. Now, how do we get there? How could she see that far ahead? Well, by God's grace, he speaks to her in her prayer. She brings this to scripture. But there was another woman who had a prayer. There was another woman who knew that the proud would be lowered, and he would use her son to lift up, to exalt those who were low. Do you remember that prayer of another woman? It sounds almost like this one. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, we see this. And I'm sure that by now, many of you, as we turn there, but many of you already thought of this. Sometimes it's called the Magnificat. Mary's psalm, Mary's prayer, where she magnifies the Lord, where the angel has come and told her that she is going to bear a son who will be the Savior, even Jesus. But note how much of the words that Mary uses here are like the very words that Hannah uses in 1 Samuel chapter 2. So here we are in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 45. Excuse me, 46 to 55. Don't want to go backwards. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices," exalt, same way, exalts, "in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, now in all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him, for generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of the heart. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of a humble estate. And he has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Moved by the Holy Spirit, Mary picks up Hannah's same themes to glorify God in her own prayer and psalm of exaltation. How appropriate it is that Hannah's song would find its New Testament counterpart in the song of a godly young woman so much like her when the angel came to Mary. These two ladies preach, in a sense. Well, they're not preachers. But thankfully, their words of praise and rejoicing may be ours. That, beloved, you and I might find our rejoicing, our jumping for joy in the Lord. In Hannah's chance, when it's in heartbreak, and in Mary's situation, when her heart is overwhelmed, even thinking about how this could possibly happen, she rejoices. They both start rejoicing, jumping for joy in the providence of God. Beloved, I started this evening talking about rejoicing, breaking out when good things happen, and I know that. And I pray by our sister Hannah's example this evening that I would break out rejoicing also in exalting in my God when my heart is breaking. And I pray that you would too, because the promise of your God is when you go to him is that he will lift you up. As our brother John Calvin said, God will reach from heaven and minister to his people. Let us go to him. Our Father and God, we all know it is to be heartbroken over different things. And we all know what it is to be at times to be undone because we've made idols of the gift and we have forgotten about you, the giver, and how we thank you that we can return to you, that when we find our joy in your hand that works perfectly, the Lord kills and the Lord gives life. The Lord tears down, the Lord raises up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray, O God, that instead of running to those other places where we would seek comfort and safety, that we would follow the example of our sister Hannah this evening and run to you, that you might lift us up. May you do that with the hurting this evening, even in Christ, and because he is the anointed one, the one whom you made low, so that we would be lifted up. For we pray in his name. Amen.